Thank you, choir. What a wonderful way to start a service. Welcome to everyone. We're so glad you got out and braved this cold weather and get ready for some more. If you would, we'll stand and sing hymn number 82, Victory in Jesus. Victory for each of us. We pray that you would help us as we go through our daily lives that would be worthy of your sacrifice. Bless us and help us through this worship service, and help us that the things we do and say would be a pleasing to you. For it's in our name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It is Victory in Jesus. That is my favorite song, and it is so appropriate. What a wonderful day it is to be in God's house. despite the mist and the just enough rain to mess your windshield up. But it's a great day to be here. It's a great day to worship the Lord, and it's a great day to fellowship with each other and renew and strengthen ourselves that we can get some energy. And despite the lack of sunshine, we can be the sunshine in somebody's life. So it's awesome that you're here this morning. I wanted to go over a couple of announcements, actually a few announcements this morning. Our newsletter, Martha Jo has prepared the March newsletter. There's copies in the back foyer for you to pick up and take one. If you need extras, you can see myself or Martha Jo, and we can print you off another one if there's none back there. But a lot of good information about things happening in and around our community and also in Center Friends. We got a lot going on with the youth, got some things going on, and ministering council is sponsoring a couple things. So take this, make this your prayer list. There's quite a few folks on here that we definitely need to be lifting up. So do that in your daily walk, in your daily prayer, that you lift up and you touch each name so that the Lord can reach them. Also in the back foyer are flyers, and I may, pardon me if I step on Quaker Men's toes, but we have flyers. We have billboards for the community breakfast. It is March the 30th. Pick up some bulletins, pick up some flyers, pass them out. Be the person in the Walmart parking lot that sticks them under a windshield wiper. It's okay. But yes, a community breakfast. This raises money for Quaker Men's different projects and different ministries that they do outreach for. But yes, it's March the 30th. The usual good cholesterol-free food will be there. And fried apple pies will be there. Amen. So I encourage you to pick up some flyers and pass those out. Take them to work. Take them to other churches. Take them and just give them to whoever you see. Put them in grocery carts. What can it hurt? Any other announcements?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our friends from Jamaica send greetings and gratitude. Had a good week. Patched up an old meeting house so that it's now usable. In Jamaica. It was hot down there too, didn't I tell you?
Was it sunny, Taylor? Was it sunny?
Is my face sunburned? Humidity was about 10,000%. But we had a good trip, and they're very grateful. We delivered some books down there that were donated from another meeting. We chose a friend's town. We worked on the Bellfield Meeting House, which was in a shambles, so we kind of patched it up to where they could use it. And last Sunday morning, heard preaching in that meeting house. Powerful preaching and singing. Good trip.
We're thankful that there are missionaries in our church that are willing to travel and assist in construction projects in their own ministries, vacation Bible schools and building projects, so that we can share the gospel with the rest of the world. Any other announcements?
And for FEMAP, we'll focus on two items, and I'll see if my lovely volunteers could show us what those items are. So we're going to focus on deodorant and foot powder that we used to be put in the farm worker kits. So we collected those for last month. So foot powder and deodorant. Thank you.
I'll make one more announcement. We will be springing forward by next Sunday. So adjust your alarm clocks accordingly. Be prepared for that. And make sure that those who are late, they'll be early. Those who are early, maybe even earlier. So make sure you adjust your time with your alarm clocks to show that we spring forward Saturday night, Sunday morning. Any other announcements? Will our ushers come forward, please? Let us pray. Father, we lift up our thankful hearts to you this morning for the wonderful freedom to gather with protection and with the ability to just express our wonderful love for you. And we do that through the many blessings you've given us and the gifts that you provide us. Lord, we lift our offerings up to you and in your honor so that we can continue to share the blessings with the world. We can continue your message. We can continue your son's message of hope and love to the rest of the hurting world. Lord, continue to bless each one here today. Bless the giver and the receivers that we may not know who they are, but that you do and you know their hearts. And we thank you for their hearts, Lord. We thank you for sinner friends and we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chocolate.
Do we think we should give Tommy and Kay one? Okay.
All right, now don't eat it. Oh, Landon? I mean, Lathan? Don't eat it. Oh, no, we have to be patient. We have to wait. Oh, no. What are some things we have to wait for? What's one thing, Sophie?
We have to wait for our mom to be done cooking.
Right. We have to wait for people to get done cooking something so we can eat it. What else, Sophie? Oh, yep. You got to wait. If you plant something, you have to wait for it. It takes 190 days for cooking or for the planting? For the planting, for it to grow. Yep. Okay. Yes. Wait for Christmas. Wait for your birthday.
And I'm going to have a Hulk smash
birthday. You're going to have a Hulk birthday?
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So we have to wait and wait. I know this sounds crazy to you guys with your tablets and the internet and stuff, but we used to have to wait for TV shows. Like if your favorite TV show came on like only on Friday nights, you had to wait all week to watch that show. And there wasn't any like looking it up to watch it on YouTube or something. You had to wait. And you know what I'm waiting for right now? And it's about to drive me crazy. I am waiting for spring. Is anybody else tired of the rain and the gray and the mud? Down on the farm, it is just mud, mud, mud. Some of the cows are up in that much mud. It's crazy. And so I was going to show you this book real quick. It's called And Then It's Spring. Is everybody waiting on their candy still? Is everybody? Landon, okay. Lathan is kind of waiting. He's got it unwrapped. All right. So let's see if we can feel like how this book feels. First, you have brown. All around you have brown. Mm-hmm. Does that look familiar? Then there are seeds, just like Sophie was talking about. I'm planting a seed. And a wish for rain, and then it rains. And around here it rains some more, right? And then it rains again. And it's still brown, but a hopeful, very possible sort of brown. And is that a little green? Ugh, no, it's just brown. Is anything growing yet? No, still more weeding. Then it is a week, and you worry about those little seeds. And if maybe it was the birds, or maybe it was the bears and all that stomping, because bears can't read signs that say things like, please do not stomp here, these are seeds, and they are trying to grow. Think the bears ate the seeds? Maybe. And then it's one more week. So has anything happened? Still waiting. And the brown is still brown, but it has a greenish hum that you can only hear if you put your ear to the ground and close your eyes. What's going on down there?
Ants.
Ants, right. You see all the little bugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. It's starting to maybe get a little bit warm. Can you see it? Yeah. And then it is one more week. And a sunny day. That sunny day that happens right after that rainy day. Kind of like yesterday, we had a sunny day finally, right? And you walk outside to check on all that brown, but the brown isn't around, and now you have green all around. You have green. Because it's finally what?
Summer.
Finally spring or summer, finally warm, and everything finally grew, right? But you had to be so patient. So I'm trying to be really patient right now, and it makes me hopeful when I get sunny days, like we had yesterday, or when I see little flowers coming. Does anybody see little flowers? Or when we see little bugs?
My flowers are dead.
Oh. Oh, maybe they're just asleep, and they're going to come back soon. All right. Is everybody still being patient on that candy? Everybody still waiting? Okay. In the Bible, there's lots of... It's melted. In the story, there's lots of in the Bible, there's lots of stories about people who have to wait. They have to wait for answers. They have to wait for things to happen. And there's even a passage in James that talks about being patient, just like the farmer has to wait for those plants to grow. So I know that waiting is hard. It's so hard to be patient, but it is something that we can get help with. We can pray about it. We can be very patient. And God knows that it's hard, and He's there for us even when we're having to wait for things, like our candy. All right, you don't have to wait anymore. You can open your candy. Yes. Okay. Here, give me your wrapper. Ready? We waited a little too long. Whoops. Maybe I should have got a different kind of candy.
I still know. Can I help it?
No. Oh, Miss Marvin, you might have to wash your hands upstairs. I'm sorry. All right. Well, as you're enjoying your candy, let's say a little prayer. Dora, thank you for being with us even when we wait. Sometimes it's so hard to be patient for things like spring or for our birthday, or maybe even some things that are bigger problems for people all around the world. So thank you for helping us be patient, and thank you for being with us even when we have to wait. In your name we pray, amen.
She's talking about patience. I'm going to set this right here and preach on temptation. We'll go into our time of prayer requests and praises. I have just a couple of things I want to update. Artie Chilton is in a rehab unit on the fourth floor at Cone. He is up walking, doing fairly well. There was some quick little complications, but they adjusted some medicine and got him pretty well. I saw him last Sunday when he was in ICU, and I walked in, hit him on the foot, and said, "Hey, old man," and he gave me a thumbs up and smiled. So that's always a hopeful sign. And just keep our Valley in your prayers, as she is completely exhausted, having to spend hours upon hours at the hospital, and she's only going home very infrequently to kind of re-energize. So, but Artie is doing fairly well. He will have some speech therapy, and they're just trying to get his strength built up so that he can be released from the hospital. We're also thankful that David and David Jr. are back from Jamaica, that they had safe travels and that they were impactful in the ministry of the gospel, and we're so thankful that they're here to do that and to reach out to those folks in Jamaica and provide their services. Wanted to add Charlene Kennedy, that is a friend of Richard and Linda Hatchell. She is battling stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, lungs, back, kidneys, and liver. And she's in the final stages of her life. She's been given 3 to 6 months to live. And so we just lift her up today, that we can lift her up and have God's healing presence in her life. She is a special needs individual, so therefore she is incommunicable. She cannot speak, but that adds an additional burden to her treatment, that she can't express what hurts or what issues are. So Charlene Kennedy, and we will add her to the prayer list accordingly. Are there any others we need to add?
Randy, their stepsister Candy is battling cancer. She's been battling cancer for, honestly, off and on for years now, but she let everybody know this past week that she's got weeks, maybe a month or two left, and she is one of the most joyful people I've ever known. She just makes everybody feel loved and welcome, and she really needs love and support and prayers right now, and so does her husband and 2 sons.
What's Candy's last name?
Fisher.
We're thankful for Susie Thomas, who decided to try to climb the other day. I think in the kitchen, I think what I heard, and she fell and took a pretty serious fall. But we're glad that Susie's here and that she's here with us. And she's got her hay stick with her. So if I guess out of the line, she can hit them with it. So we're glad you're doing better. Any others? Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah. Wiley Short on the prayer list, you see, and he is, of course, we're leaving this afternoon at 2 o'clock to go down to 1:45 to do just after service work. Of course, he's still in it and so forth, and he really can't do anything, but he plans to come down Tuesday and go back Wednesday because he wants down there to support us as we go. And I'll be leaving at 2 o'clock for the Jamestown meeting with the band. Somebody still wants to go and get free food and lodging for a week, we'd be welcome.
And this is what trip for you? What number?
152.
152. We'll definitely pray for safe travels for Charlie and all the FEMAT workers.
Abby Kirkman? She actually passed away. Yeah. She actually did pass away yesterday morning, I believe.
Tommy, my friend Kaylee probably broke her arm at school the other day and could not breathe. And I feel so bad for her because everybody was staring at her.
Did it happen outside?
No, it happened at lunch.
Happened at lunch. Fell and broke her arm. Kaylee. Yeah. Definitely not a lack of need. So that calls on all of us to kind of get to work. We got some work to do. We got some prayers to pray. We got some things to do. Some people to visit. Have hugs to give, some tears to shed. We got a God that's going to be there every step of the way. Let's go to one prayer. Father, today we come to you in a worshipful heart. We come to you with bleeding souls, broken hearts, thankful spirits, blessed lives. We come to you with so many emotions. We come to you with so many needs and so many wants. We ask that you provide for each one. Lord, we pray that you provide for those that have crossed into the light or that are heading that way, Lord, that they're coming to the end of their physical life. While the flesh grieves, the spirit celebrates. While we are left here on this broken earth to remember them in tears and sadness, we know that you provide and eternal glory. And we thank you so much for that. We ask for time, Lord. We ask for time to understand these things, understand losses, understand hurts. We ask for time to thank you for blessing our lives and giving us these praises and these wonderful soldiers of your Son, Jesus Christ. You've heard every need. You heard every thanksgiving. No age has been untouched. Heal the bodies that are broken. Heal the hearts that are torn. Dry the tears that are shed so that we can see the light of Christ working in every single one of us. Thank you for the protections you give us. Thank you for the lives you provide to us. And thank you for the whisper in our ears that we can be a comfort to others as we're called to do. We are your army, Lord. Give us that strength. Give us that direction to touch each one that has been mentioned here. Those that are on a list privately at home or those that are on our list in our newsletter, Lord, you know the needs. You also know the ones that are unspoken. And we ask that you give us the strength and give us the guidance, give us the scripture and the prayer to touch each one. If anyone on those lists does not understand you as their Savior, Lord, I ask that you pierce their heart, you open their eyes, even in their final days, that they can realize there is an eternity with you and that they can engage in that relationship and accept that relationship and allow that Holy Spirit. Break through that door and love you. We thank you for the peace and comfort you provide. Give us understanding that it may take time, it may take patience, but that in the end, you surpass any physical ailment, any physical death, any broken bone, any tear. That you are always there, and we thank you. Be with those that are unspoken, Lord. Be with those that whose hearts are hurting that we don't know about. Be with those that are lost, and hopefully they'll find you as their shepherd. But in the end, we thank you for everything, and we love you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lost their voice, they grew.
This morning's message is coming from the back of the book. We'll be in Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 3. We'll look at a fairly common verse that folks have heard before. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. These are Jesus' words to John. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now, Revelation is one of my most favorite books of the Bible because we win in the end. And it was written by the Apostle John, who was on exile on the island of Patmos. Now, he was exiled because of his Christian ministry. And this was a vision that John received, and he was to document it, what was to come. And this is kind of the culmination of the other 65 books. This was the wrap-up. This was the end. But this was also the beginning. And it is truly the final revealing of the judgment of Christ on the world. And it serves a couple of purposes. It can serve as a warning to those who have become complacent in their faith that there's judgment coming, but it also serves as a story of hope
to those who are broken, oppressed, those who are silenced
for their Christian beliefs, because it does wrap up the physical ugh of the world. Now, there's different views in Revelation, and we're not getting into the real meat and potatoes of the apocalyptic chapters, but that's for another day and another study. But there's different views on that. But for the most part, with this passage, there's not too much you can. But it did not do anything big. Form church, as Christ said, and it says either early on. Behavior. And it's in this advice, this short little passage, that we find the sermon this morning. And I want to focus on one word in that passage. And the word is door. Now, a door is defined as a hinged, sliding, or revolving barrier at the entrance to a building, room, or vehicle. And doors are an interesting piece of construction. They've been used for thousands of years, and they've been made from leaves and mud and sticks, stones. especially if you have visitors coming. Those doors are wonderful. Throw everything in the closet, slam the door shut, and hope that the friendly worker circle don't open that closet door. Some people hide treasures in closets and safes behind doors and closets. It creates a barrier between something or someone. Now, doors can be a point of contention for teenagers and their parents. When I was an SRO, I would meet with frustrated parents on a fairly regular basis who were dealing with teenagers. Yeah, I'm talking about y'all. Stubborn, defiant, hard-headed. They know everything and nothing at all. Teenagers. Constantly, they say, they don't listen to anything I tell them. This sermon may actually get an amen out of some parents. I tell them they're so disrespectful. They're just ugly. Let me be clear. God don't like ugly. Don't be ugly. Is there anything I can do? The kids just driving me crazy. I'm at my wit's end. They're just so mean. They say things. They do things. They break curfew. They sneak out. Whatever. And they give times of yelling and sometimes cursing at their parents and going to their rooms and slamming their doors. This is where creativity kicks in. I would immediately smile and I tell the parents, and I don't have children, so I cannot even pretend to understand the frustration and aggravation you have being yelled at by something that you brought into this world. But I'd always give one suggestion. Remove the door. What? They'd say. Take that bad boy off the hinges. They'd look at me like I had three heads. Well, I can't do that. Remove the door? I can't do that. They have privacy. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'd smile and say, who's in charge? Who pays the mortgage? Who bought that door? Who pays the bills? And they'd say, we do. But don't they need privacy? Well, of course they do. Put up a shower curtain. You ever tried slamming a shower curtain? It don't make near as enough noise. And when I said that, parents would be like, okay. And I had parents come to me and say, yeah, we took it down, put up an extendable rod, slapped up a shower curtain. They don't slam a door no more. And they earn the hinges back, piece by piece. Okay, you get the door, but you don't get the hinge pins. And then you do good another week, you get the top hinge pin. The kids are going, they're going to be like, really? You tell my parents to take, put up a shower curtain? I mean, but it gives them privacy, but you don't get to slam the door. So let me ask you, doors can be very important in our physical world. They can be so detrimental in our relationships also with each other and with Jesus Christ. Doors get in the way. How many of us are slamming doors to others? How many of us are slamming doors with Christ on the other side? Maybe we're keeping the door shut. Maybe we're like the church in Laodicea, where we're on the other side and Christ is knocking, begging to be let in. Can you hear his voice from the other side of the door? Because you're locked in all nice and tight. He's out there. We slam doors when life gets hard. Life's going to get hard. We try to push life behind a door so we don't have to deal with it. We try to separate ourselves from those who need us most. We turn away from the very people who need us. And it's easier to be behind a secured door than to be vulnerable to the world. Shutting people out who need us the most is the exact opposite of what Christ teaches us. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. We always slam doors when life gets hard. We slam doors when we get scared. Life is scary. Bad things happen. There's no doubt about it. It's in our fear where we want to hide. We want to sit in the corner of the closet in the smallest possible ball we can make with the door shut and not be found. We want to run away from the big bad stuff that scares us. Maybe a surgery's coming, a health issue pops up, there's a test at school, it's a financial issue, a new job, a broken spirit. We want to just shut that door and say, I cannot deal with it right now. Change can scare us. We slam that door as fast as we can so we don't have to face it. But God told Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But yet we slam the door. We shut the door when we want to shut the lights out or shut the sounds out. How many times do we close the door when the music is too loud? When I go to my office, I usually shut the door so I'm not bothered by the sound of the television if I'm trying to write a sermon. Or maybe we try to go to sleep and the hallway light is coming in, so we shut the door. On the rare occasion that I go to bed before Whitney, I'll shut the door because I like it completely dark. I like the blackout curtains I have. I like complete darkness. Are we shutting our doors to drive the light within us? Are we trying to block that light within us by closing the door? Are we shutting doors to drown out the voice of Christ leading us and guiding us in our journey? Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We slam the door when we get mad because it just feels good. When you get mad, you just want to just, And if it's got a closer on it, it makes you even madder because it doesn't slam fast enough. And sometimes we're yelling, wham, God, why are you so unfair? Blam, there goes the door. Why are you so unfair? People do us wrong. They bully us. They pick on us because we believe in God. They pick on us because we read our Bible. They pick on us because we pray for them. They're just mean. So we slam the door. We yell at God and say, why are you so unfair? Maybe our spouse does something. Maybe something at work happens and we just want to slam a door just because it feels good. Things will happen in our lives that make us angry, but then we turn that anger towards God sometimes. So in that anger, we slam the door on him. We slam our heart's door shut. We close our eyes and turn off our ears. We slam it shut. And the last part of Psalm 42 kind of explains that. And it says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What a quick turn Psalm 42 took. The door got slammed and then it got opened. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Our passage this morning, Christ is at the door. There he stands, waiting, ready for it to open. Waiting to stand before our hearts. He stands there loving us so much that he died for us. He gave up his physical life. He wants that relationship with us. Christ is knocking. He's arrived at our door, now knocking, awaiting an answer. He's seeking to enter our hearts. He continues to knock. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just can't escape it. You just feel it. He's just knocking and knocking and knocking. And you just wish it would stop knocking. But all you got to do is open the door. Because he's going to continue to knock. Constantly knocking. He doesn't give up. But guess what? We either open the door or we walk away from it and we leave it locked. And in this passage, Christ gives us a plea. He pleads and begs to be let in. It's me, Jesus. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. There it is. Christ offers the ultimate reward. If you let him in, it's a lifelong communion. It's kind of like a visitor coming to the door. Who's there? It's me, Jesus. Kind of like someone coming to your house. The choices begin at that moment. Here's a choice. You can run around, hiding our sins, stuffing our things in closets. We can lock the door so he can't come in. Or we can slam it before he gets to the porch because we heard him pull down the driveway. Turn off the lights. Kids, hush. Maybe they'll go away. We all know we've done it to somebody coming to our door. We can open the door after hiding all of our stuff and put on a smile. Come on in. Life is great and perfect and wonderful, and it's not because your closet's full of stuff. It's a false life. We can slam the door in anger, refusing entry because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. Something bad happened. You were so unfair. We can just let him in. Seeing our sins in the raw, seeing our lives, our hurt in the raw, and taking the band-aids off and showing him what hurts. But then when a guilt creeps in because we've done something, we push him back out. That's a possibility. That's a choice. And we shut the door. Or we can take the door off the hinges, pop each pin. This does two things. It removes any barriers between us and God, and it prevents us from slamming it shut. Take the door off the hinges. It's my prayer today that God takes our doors off the hinges. You know what doors you have. You know what doors are in our world. You know what your friends' doors are. So there's no barrier. Maybe there's a door that's blocking you from a relationship with a friend that you need to reconcile, or a loved one. Take the quiet time and pray that those hinges get pulled and that door comes down. Maybe the door is closing out the light and drowning out the voice of God and you need that to be removed. I pray that that happens today. I pray the doors come down, that they get kicked open, they get broken, and they don't get replaced. I urge you to evaluate the doors you have locked in your life. Who's behind them? Who are you shutting out? If there are doors between you and someone else, now's the time for reconciliation. Now's the time to pray for that door to be taken down. If there's doors between you and Christ, it's the most important. If you're mad at him, if you're sad at him, if you're frustrated, you don't know what to do because the door's been closed and you don't want to open it because it hurts too much. Take it off the hinges because he's going to be there knocking, wanting to love you. All you got to do is answer the door.
I was listening to the choir sing, "Why Should He Love Me So?" There's no reason why he should. We don't deserve it. We're all sinners. And the only answer that I could come up with is because of the grace that he provides for us. So I'm thankful for that grace. If you will, we'll stand, and our closing hymn is page 432, Softly and Tenderly, verses 1 and 3.
Thank you. again, we thank you for the ability to gather and worship. We know that you call, that you knock on our hearts for a relationship with you and to live in that eternal communion with you, Lord. Help us see that the doors are in our way and that we can remove those. And then help us go out and help others remove doors in their lives, that they can engage in that loving relationship with you. Challenge us, command us, and guide us as we leave here today to spread the message of the cross. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.